We're going to watch Andy Griffith tonight.
All right. What does it say up there? To be continued. All right. 6507. Not responding. Just, it's Baptist. Responding. If only. Nay, that's because he's the only reason we've got this far. Okay, what's the code? You're a bunch of computer hackers. All right, Daniel chapter 9. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for your goodness and for your grace. I pray you'd help us tonight, lead us and direct us. Well, thank you for all you do. Lord, I'm a little bit nervous, and it's very difficult for me to do something like this, to talk and operate a computer and all this stuff together, so I pray you'd help me. I pray that you'd help, Lord, to make this thing clear, and that is the object of this Bible lesson, God, to make these things clear so that folks can see what they're looking at when they're reading their Bible. And I thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Allen's been going over some of these things for the last several weeks. And so what I did here was I really just took some of the stuff that Brother Allen's been going over. And, of course, this is nothing new. The book of Daniel has been around a long time. And many people have done lots of books and sermons about this material. But it is, as far as prophecy is concerned, prophecy is always kind of difficult anyway because you're talking about something that's way out in the future and that's mostly sealed. The book of Revelation is spoken of as the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. These things are spoken of as sealed books, and also 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get complete, clear revelation on a thing until it actually begins to come to pass. The New Testament gospel that you and I believe, it was being taught in the Old Testament. However, Paul tells us in the book of Colossians that these things were hid from their eyes. So when Jesus shows up and he starts talking about going to the cross, his disciples are like, what are you talking about? This is not the way it happens. You're supposed to be a king and you're supposed to rule over everything. That's the way it's supposed to go. What's this? You're talking about dying at Jerusalem. So a lot of things are hidden until you actually get right to the point that a thing is going to come to pass, and then the Lord gives real clear instructions about it, which you'll turn out to see, as this turns out, you'll see that it's pretty clear here in the book of Daniel, even to those of us who are living in this day and time. We're not living in the tribulation right now. Amen. And the church is never going to go through the tribulation. And that's cause for praising the Lord, amen? It makes no difference how many little novice churches spring up over the country and begin to talk about, you know, and really to me it's sad, you know, and when I say little novice churches, you know, I'm talking about Steven Anderson's organizations, the one who, you know, proclaimed they were going to shut down dispensationalism and Ruckmanism. And in the very next month, their whole system went to pot. Amen. Be careful what you say you're going to get rid of, especially if you're talking about folks that believe the Bible. Caesar tried to get rid of us a long time ago, and that didn't work. Amen. And then King Henry tried to get rid of one fella, choked him and threw him in the river. And his Bible ended up producing this Bible that you got in your lap. And it's just the Lord tends to do what he wants to, regardless of what men think about it at all. Amen. And everything that the Bible has ever said is going to come to pass, came to pass. And so I've got supreme confidence in the Bible, in God's Word. Amen. Supreme confidence in it. And while, you know, I struggled a little while when I was younger and, you know, was going to set the world on fire as a preacher and convert everybody and fix everything, which is, by the way, not a bad goal to have. If you just got called to preach, I recommend that you set your sight towards fixing everybody and changing everything. Amen. So it's not going to hurt anything to have lofty goals. Amen. We got a couple of fellas in here tonight that are aiming high right now. Amen. So just aim high and got a few retired Air Force guys. And I'm sure you guys are still aiming high too, ain't you? Amen. No problem with that at all. Amen. And if you need some Marines to help carry you the rest of the way, we'll be glad to help you out. Amen. But at any rate, you knew that was coming, didn't you? But at any rate, in all seriousness, I really have nothing against, you know, seeing young fellas full of, you know, fire and trying to, you know, set the world on fire. Nothing wrong with that at all. But myself, you know, I spent a good while there trying to make sure that nobody offended my dead preacher. You know, Carl Lackey, he was a great preacher as far as I'm concerned. And it still bothers me a little bit when somebody points out one of his flaws. But eventually I recognized that he did have flaws. And that's always a source of growth when you can recognize those things and grow beyond those things. And men of the past like Schofield and Larkin and such folks as have laid down the basic system that we use to interpret prophecy. If you got somebody preaching prophecy, 9 times out of 10, they're copying Schofield or Larkin, one or the other, depending upon who you're dealing with. They're not really teaching you anything they learned from just studying the Bible, but they're really quoting Larkin or Schofield, one or the other. And that's neither here nor there. If that's what you're satisfied with, then more power to you. But when you're dealing with prophecy, you have to realize you're talking about future things. And most of the time when I study something about the prophecy or something like that, you get it down in your mind, teach it in Sunday school 3 weeks later. Now, what was that again? What was that? How did that work out? And it's something cloudy in your mind because you're dealing with the future. And I was about to say a few minutes ago, one thing that really disturbed me when these fellas come out, these novice preachers came out with, they're going to end dispensationalism and they're going to start teaching that the church is going through the tribulation. It made me a little bit upset the amount of preachers that couldn't handle the question. And I know personally of men who went to their pastors and said, hey, look, this guy's got a pretty convincing argument, which it's not a convincing argument unless you hadn't been reading your Bible. But he said, this guy's got a pretty convincing argument. What's the answer? Well, we'll deal with that. It's not important. Don't worry about it. That's not the right answer. That's not the right answer. To me, when something is challenging Bible doctrine, I say dig in, stack up your ammunition, and just cover it and cover it and cover it and cover. Well, I get tired of hearing the same old stuff all the time. Well, most of you not listening anyway. Amen. So the one or two of you that's listening, I hope you get it and I hope you'll understand it. And Pastor Ryman, as I said, has went over this a couple of times in the last several weeks. And what we're going to do today is we're just going to give you this so you can look at it and see, is it still up there? I hope it is. I hope it continues to work. It shut off on me a while ago. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, let's just read verse number 22. Actually, let's start in verse 24 and just get this material because I want to go through this as quick as I can. And if you decide that you will need to see some of it again, you bring me a USB device or something like that, and I'll plug it in here and download it for you. You can take it home, look at it, study it. You come back and argue with me about it if you want to. That stuff doesn't bother me at all. Amen. Matter of fact, if somebody got something in the Bible that you see, I encourage you to grow. I would hope that in 75 years, this church is not a memorial to Alan Ryman or Mike Easter or anybody else who comes along and pastors the church. No matter how their fortune, I would hope in 25 years that Pensacola Bible Institute, Bible Baptist Church, is not just a memorial to Peter S. Ruckman. And I would hope in another 100 years that White Plains is not just a memorial to my old pastor, Carl Lackey. I hope that's the case. But what it takes is folks to grow. This country is filled with Calvinists who's never grown. And, of course, there's nobody 1,500 years old. You understand that. But folks that are still following 1,500-year-old doctrine that was wrong 1,500 years ago. Amen. And it's because they haven't grown and they haven't read their Bible. Whatever we teach today or whatever we teach next Sunday, if you believe that's the truth, I hope you take that truth and grow and build on it. And then there's always the possibility that your preacher or teacher, being a fallible man, might have misread something or looked at something wrong or something to that effect. And that if you can see that, and if you can correct that in your own mind, say, no, well, that right there was not correct, I hope you can do that without feeling like much of a criminal or a turncoat or a traitor. Amen. Because you're not. I'll just give you a for instance, and if we don't get to all this today, maybe the Lord won't come back before the next time I preach and we can finish it then. So it's not that big of a deal to me. If we get finished, we do. If we don't, we don't. But there's an old doctrine. It's been around a long time. Clarence Larkin is the originator of it, and he teaches that way back yonder somewhere in the grand scheme of things that God had his throne and that Satan had his position above God's throne, and he covered the throne. And he uses for that a text verse out of the Bible that says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth." Well, I believed that for a long time and thought that and defended that. But one day I was reading through that passage of Scripture, and every one of those statements were past tense. Thou was, that you was in the garden of God. You was this. You was that. And there's one present tense statement in the passage, and as long as you're reading it, if you're reading it 250 years from now, it'll still be in the present tense. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. There's nothing about a throne there. There's nothing about covering anything there. It's just he is, present tense, the anointed cherub that covereth. And if we compare Scripture with Scripture, we know that that the God of this world blinds the minds of lost men so that they can't see the truth. He's a coverer of the truth. And the first recorded words of his in the Bible are, "Yea, hath God said." God told you this, but is that really true? And that's what the devil is. And see, it's just a matter of one simple word. Somebody overlooked it and decided to put that verse in a place where it never has been, never was meant to be. And a lot of people have mistaken that, including myself, and taught that over the years, that at one time the devil... But what was the sin of the devil is that he wanted to ascend above the stars of God and set his throne up higher than it was. So independent Baptist preachers are putting the devil right where he wanted to be. Just by missing one little word, thou art. Not you was, thou art the anointed cherub. Now, I don't know if you understand that or not. And to some of you, you might be thinking, well, I don't understand anything you're talking about. This is not anything I've ever thought about. Well, here's something for you to do tomorrow. Start thinking about it. I'm tired of this, which doesn't matter if I'm tired of it or not, but this is a baby bottle fed society. Where I can't understand the word thee. I can't deal with the Bible because it has these and thous in it. So that's the level of your intelligence. I don't buy that. I don't get yourself a dictionary and find out what the word thee means. Amen. Or thou. And why should 2,000 years worth of Christians have to suffer and die and bleed to get an understanding of God's word, and you get to go by on flowery beds of ease? You don't deserve that. Amen. You don't deserve to get everything handed to you. Amen. You deserve. I mean, I hope you get it as easy as you can. I'm not wishing hardship on you. It's just that from the past track record of the Christian church, they have arrived at the blessings of God through the merit of Christ and through following Him, which is a little bit difficult. So you're going to have to, study. Much study is a weariness to the flesh. We knew that before we got started. But you're going to have to do it, just like Pastor Ryman had to do it, just like I had to do it. And you're going to have to trust God's word above all things. Above all things. Amen? Okay, so what we have here, let's get on with this here. In verse 24, he says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Very important. Upon thy people. Not on the world. Not on the Baptist. Thy people. Who is Daniel's people? Okay, then now we know who we're talking to. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. There's the crucifixion right there. But not for himself. Jesus died for others, not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come, somebody coming after the Messiah is cut off, the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now that's a very important word, that desolations. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week is this Prince that's come and destroyed the city. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now he's talking about Israel, confirming a covenant with Israel for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He's going to stop the sacrifice. Whatever the temple's being used for at that time, he's going to stop it. And it says, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. That's why we call it the abomination of desolation. Well, as we go through these slides here, you're going to see AOD, I believe is what I put there. That's abomination of desolation. And so just remember that, and I'll point it out. He shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So what you see up here now is basically I just laid that out for you, and that God laid this out on purpose. God put it this way on purpose. This is a roadmap, and I'm going to show you that here in just a second. So if I tell you to go down 300 and make a left on Arthursville, and then make a left on Hourglass, and then make a right on Torella Road, and I go ahead of you and take down all the street signs and mix them up, you think you're going to get to the right place? I done messed up your road signs. I gave you a road map, but I went and tore down your road signs. Now you're in trouble. Because when God gives you road signs, you want to follow the road signs till you get all the way to the destination. Amen? So these things are weeks, and they're weeks of years. And we'll look into some of this if we have time to, and I might skip over some of that. But like I say, you can have this if you want it to look at for yourself. But as you go through the Bible tells you how to look at these weeks, and it tells you not only by the Bible laying out certain things, weeks standing or days standing for years, and I've got all the scripture in here for that. But even if we didn't have that, all you've got to do is look at the history of how this thing folds out, and it comes right out to the days and to the times. So when I say a week of years, all that means is one day equals a year, and how many weeks are in a, or how many days are in a week? Okay, so weeks of years. That's pretty easy to understand. When you get the 7 streets and the wall. So if a Jew was around when the wall went up, he said, well, here's where I'm at. It's a road map, see? You look around, you say, well, look, here's this sign for Judith Road. Where am I at? Well, you're on Judith Road. Okay, so when this 7-year period, when this number 7 comes up and the wall is built, a Jew knows right where he is. Now, you and I as Gentiles, you know the Bible tells us that no man knows the day or the hour that the Lord's going to come. We're talking about the Advent. Nobody absolutely knows when the rapture is going to be, and we do believe in the rapture. But I'm telling you this, as we go through this, once that Jew Once the church is gone and once the Jew is left, if a Jew will look in this book, in the book of Daniel, and believe what he reads, once he sees certain of these road signs pop up that we're going to see as we go through this, he's going to know exactly where he is. And not only is he going to know exactly where he is, he's going to be able to count down to the very day that the Lord shows up. Not only that, he'll be able to count out beyond the advent to the day when the judgment of Matthew chapter 25 is going to show up. And he's going to know it to the very day. And when God deals with the Jew, God promised them that I will never do nothing except I give the prophets exactly what's going to happen before it happens. And that's what you're going to see, that that's how it turns out here in this. Now, I just changed what I just had up on the screen to a kind of a linear graph where you can see exactly what's going on. You've got, can you see the pointer up here? All right, good. You probably can't see it in the back, but that's what happens when Baptists sit on the back row. Can y'all see that in the back? Okay, good. I really did wish the best for you. Okay. Here's the command. That passage of Scripture said when the commandment went forth, and that's 0 year there. The wall's at 7. See that? Okay, then you got 62 years after that, which 7 and 62 is what? Is my math correct? Okay, right there you are. And then after that 69, you got 1 week left. There's the cross at 69. So you got the command, the wall, Messiah cut off, and the advent. Is that fairly simple looking at it that way? All right. Now let's look at it this way. A roadmap. 0, 7, 62, which brings you to 69, and then one more 70. You got the wall built. When that wall's built, if you're a Jew, you know where you're at. And that's what he said in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. So you've got this wall, you've got the cross, and then you've got the abomination of desolation down here. Notice that happens right up here in the middle of this week someplace. And these, I just made this a little road. You see that's a road? Some of you need driver's ed. That's a little street there. And as you go along here, 0, 7, 69, 70. When you get to 70, you're home. For that Jew, the Lord comes back right there. And this thing, the Lord's laying a basis for this. And you don't want to confuse this, because this is what the Jew's going to be looking for in prophecy so that he knows where he is. And we're going to see this as it develop as it goes. And these are the scriptures. If you want to write this down, these are scriptures that'll tell you 7 years equal 1 week. I think I'm going to skip over this for the sake of time. I don't think you want to be here all night on this, but it's Leviticus 25:8, Numbers 14:34, Ezekiel 4:4-6, Exodus 23:10-11. You can look those things up for yourself if you want to. Now, Daniel knows it's not a literal 70 weeks because he's alive. Amen? I mean, if it was just a literal 70 weeks, Daniel lived 70 weeks after this and no advent took place. No wall was built. And so he knows it's a prophetical thing. So, you know, these things, look in Daniel chapter 12 and see how these phrases here. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So the book of Daniel is about the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. We'll get to that in a minute. But verse 13, but go thy way till when? Till the end. So this whole book of Daniel's talking about references to the end. It's not talking about 70 literal weeks from the day that God gave Daniel this prophecy. He's talking about a very long period of time. And it certainly has been a very long period of time. Now let's look. Now let's start to build this thing, and we'll go through this rather quickly here, but you'll be able to see it on the screen. Daniel chapter 8. And let me say this while you're turning here. I like to leave things alone. I know in certain interpretations of some of Daniel's prophecies, you've got these beasts laid out. And they represent Babylon, and they represent Media Persia and Greece and Rome. And people like to take those and symbolize them into something in the future, like United Kingdom and Russia and America and different things like that. And I don't do that. If you want to do it, that's fine. But I don't do that. I leave it like it is. And the reason I leave it like it is because I'm not smart enough to see in the future what America's going to be. And, you know, if certain people get elected, America might not be at all. And that could go both ways. Amen. It could be Donald Trump. Amen. But what I'm trying to get across to you is if the Bible says that, if the Bible says Media Persia, and you just read, you know, the book of Daniel and see how many times it shows up, I'm going to leave it at Media Persia. If it says Greece, I'm going to leave it at Greece and let it be what it is when the thing comes up. But at any rate, there's more that could be said about that, but we're just going to leave it at that for now. I'm a stickler for leaving things as it is. When you read something in the Bible, I'm not saying you can't do it, but I'm saying be very careful that you make things that are called by name into something spiritually, something else. It's just a dangerous thing. Now, you can do it if you feel like you're right in doing it, because you and the Lord have to be, you know, working on these things. You know, the Lord has to teach you, and you have to learn from the Lord. So if you've got something where the Lord taught you that this beast was America, or this beast was the United Kingdom or Russia or something like that, then help yourself. But if the Bible says Persia, I'll leave it at Persia, and so forth and so on. But let's look at this, Daniel chapter 8 and verse 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great. Now, this is the man you're looking for. You're not looking for him, but the world is going to be the one to see him. When we're talking about the Antichrist, the false prophet, all these things, this is the man that starts it out here. One of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. I assume that pleasant land is the land of Israel. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host of the stars to the ground. So this little horn has great spiritual power. He is very powerful. We talked about that a little bit this morning. And then verse 11, yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Now you've got this little horn placing the abomination of desolation. Now that's how it takes place. This little horn's going to come up. He's going to make a covenant with the Jews. I read you that already in Daniel chapter 9. And in the midst of that week, he's going to break the covenant. He's going to offer a sacrifice, or he's going to place something in that temple. And I believe it could very well just be himself, placing himself. That's a very valid interpretation. All he has to do is go in there and sit on that mercy seat and say, I'm God. And that would be enough of an abomination to cause the whole land to be desolate. That's Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 7. Some of you have read Jeremiah chapter 4 and saw the earth desolate. The earth was without form and void. Not talking about Genesis 1. I'm talking about Jeremiah chapter number 4. And in Jeremiah chapter 4, the Lord said, I'm going to make this land desolate. And he does. So much so that it's referred to as being without form and void. But don't go back to Genesis 1 with that, because there's still horsemen there. Okay? There's still the form of cities. They're broken down, but they're there. We're not talking about an empty earth. We're talking about a desolate land of Israel. And this abomination that this little horn is going to place, which I insinuate that it's he himself, he could offer a false sacrifice or something like that. And I certainly have no problem with that. But I know from the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians, that he is going to offer himself as God. And I believe that he's just brazen enough to go in there and sit down on that mercy seat and call himself God. And many folks are going to believe in him. Now, I want you to notice what it says in verse number 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation? Now, the vision is the little horn. That's the context of the whole chapter in chapter 8. And basically what he's asking you here is, he's saying, how long is the vision, the little horn, to the abomination of desolation? And the, he gives you the answer here. He said unto me, verse 14, he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So this, the question is, how long is the vision? And the vision is the little horn. And then it's the revealing of the abomination of desolation. And the answer is 2,300 days. Now let's look right there. Little horn, that's your starting point. And when you're dealing with Bible prophecy, I recommend you use 30-day months. Because these European-style months, they don't line up with the way God gives things out. God deals with the Jews 30-day months, so much so that sometimes they got more than 12 in a year. But that's neither here nor there. That's the way God wanted to do it. That's the way he does it. So 2,300 days, 30-day months. Now, just interestingly enough, he says, how long is it from the vision to the abomination of desolation? It's 2,300 days, and that's 6.3 years, almost 6.5 years, not quite. But look at that number right there. That's interesting, ain't it? If you also, if you take, the Bible says 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. Now, a day has, if you count the day and the night, a day has 24 hours in it. And if you take a day has 24 hours. And if you divide 1,000 years into 24 equal periods like a day is, it's 41.666666666. Three times. 666666667. And that's the way that thing turns out. And it's probably coincidence. But he says, from the little horn to the abomination of desolation, how long is it? It's 2,300 days. All right. Little horn, 2,300 days. In the course of that in the course of that 2,300 days, your 70th week, Daniel's 70th week, is going to begin. You say, why? Because, you can turn to Daniel 12 if you want to, because that 2,300 days is going to put you 30 days before the Great Tribulation starts. There's no question about that. Daniel chapter 12. No question at all about it. Daniel's got an interesting question in Daniel chapter 12. Verse number 8, he says, I heard, but I understood not. I can see that on some other faces here tonight. I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. See, I got it wrote right there, 1,290 days. Now the question is, when is the end? And of course, the end is the end of the tribulation. Technically, there is no end. The Lord's going to show up at the advent. The tribulation is going to end. Then the millennial reign is going to take place. And then the millennial reign is going to end. And then we'll be in eternity. And just by definition of the words, eternity's never end. So there technically is never an end. So he's not talking about the end of the millennial reign. He's talking about the end of the great tribulation or the end of that 70th week. And so he says, how long is it until this end? And the starting point is the abomination of desolation. So if you need to read it again, go ahead. But from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now that's 30 days more than the tribulation. The tribulation is 1,260 days. 1,290, it's a 30-day difference. Am I wrong about that? I don't think so. So when the little horn shows up, you got 2,300 days. Now, if there's a Jew anywhere on the face of the earth, and if he's reading the book of Daniel, and if he's reading the book of Revelation, and he sees this little horn show up, And if he sees four major kingdoms and one king come in and bust up those four kingdoms and start taking over everything, and he's reading his Bible at the same time, he'll say, there he is. There's that little horn. And when God points out to him the book of Daniel, his own prophet, then he's going to say, oh, we got 2,300 days. And then this guy's going to turn on us. And so you'll have Jews in that day and time, this is God. And then you'll have another sect of Jews saying, this ain't God. This is not him. And you'll see that division when the Lord shows up in Revelation chapter 7 and starts numbering those tribes and sealing them. It's not going to be the ones that are saying, this Antichrist, he's God. It's going to be the ones that are saying, no. Daniel said the little horn. This is the little horn. And they're going to know they got 2,300 days, 30-day months, and that's going to put them right there, the abomination of desolation. Now, this is where you want to be very careful when you start trying to split this 70th week up. Because the Bible says, and we'll get to the verses here in just a minute, if you take the cross and you put it in the middle of this week, then you've taken the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're putting it dangerously close to being the abomination of desolation, and you don't want to do that. Amen. Amen? This abomination of desolation is on the front side. See it right here? Here's the last half of the tribulation here. This whole thing, 70th week, it's a whole week. You can consider the whole thing a tribulation, because on this side of it, you got all things going. If you turn to the book of Revelation chapter number, is it 6 that's got all the horsemen? Revelation chapter number 6, and you look through those horsemen and see which one of those horsemen are doing certain things. You go back to your minor prophets. Each one of those minor prophets, with the exception of Hosea and Amos, as soon as you start reading those minor prophets, in other words, the prophets that come after Daniel, those are called the minor prophets, all the way up to you get to Malachi. When you read those books of the minor prophets are split up into those horsemen. And if you read the first part of that minor prophet, it'll be about that first horse. And as you progress through the book, you'll see each one of those horses. When it's famine, it's famine. When it's war. And those things go together extremely well. The minor prophets dealing with that. So we'll see that a little bit more here. A lot of people say, well, the Great Tribulation is 3.5 years, so we don't need the rest of the week. But the rest of the week's important because the roadmap. Remember, I showed you, I don't want to go back and repeat nothing because I don't want you to end up being any more confused than you already are. But you go back to that roadmap, you don't want to change anything. If God says 7 and 62, and one, you want to leave that alone. Leave it just how it is, amen? That thing sounds like it keeps going out, but it's all right. Little horn, 2,300 days, abomination of desolation. Now I want you to notice this right here, abomination and desolation. That 1,260 days, there's the desolation right there. After this desolation takes place, then you're going to get a cleansing of the temple. You're going to get a cleanup. I don't know if you read Matthew 24 or if you read Luke 17 or you read Revelation chapter 19. There's a lot of dead people at the Advent. A lot of dead people. And after the Lord comes back, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to take place before the judgments take place. And a lot of it's going to be the cleaning up of this desolation here. Jeremiah 4:7. Daniel 9:26, Daniel 8:11-14. I've already read those, so you can check those out if you want to. Let me move on. Now, this gets a little bit more complicated. You got here back here you've got the little horn, 2,300 days to the abomination of desolation. You want to see the front half of that, 3.5 years, the front half, 3.5 years, Revelation 11:2 around in there is a good possibility. But this back half of that Daniel's 70th week, that's what this is, the 70th week, the back half of that Daniel's 70th week, it's 1,260 days, and it is the Great Tribulation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter, matter of fact, I could probably cut some of this stuff off, but Matthew, if I can find Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, and look at verse 13, right here on the end, I got it tacked on, Matthew 24. And Matthew chapter 24, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He's talking about the end of the tribulation. See, that matches the end in Daniel chapter 12. You remember that? Look in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now that's a description of the great tribulation. And he says it's the worst time ever. Can I paraphrase that verse for you? He said it's the worst time ever. No, is that, that's not too hard to understand, is it? Now let's look at for that same thing, look in Jeremiah chapter 30. You can hold your place there in Matthew because we'll skip right back over there to it. But Jeremiah chapter 30, I want you to notice this. This is one of the proof texts that you as a Christian not going to go through the tribulation. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he, Jacob, the nation of Israel, shall be saved out of it. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, Matthew said the great tribulation, there was no day like it. Jeremiah said the time of Jacob's trouble, there's no day like it. So let me ask you this, can there be two worse days? If you married, you might think there can be two worse days, but I assure you, there cannot be two days that are worse. One has to be worse than the other. And the great tribulation, which is the worst time there ever will be, is the time of Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. Listen, the greatest day that was ever suffered for the church, Christ suffered it for you. That's wonderful to me, because I, in my own strength and my own power, I would probably run or give in. I know if I've given in to any kind of temptation on this earth, when it came down to a gun or a bullet, I would probably give in. I don't know about you. Maybe you're braver than me. Perhaps you're in the Air Force and stronger than me. I don't know. But I know this. I'm a very weak man. I wouldn't want to leave it up to my own ability. But so Christ suffered the worst time ever for us Gentiles. Amen. The church is not going through. The church will go through tribulation. But the church will not go through the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. And I'm so glad he said Jacob instead of Israel, because the knothead nuts will say that the church is the new Israel, which it is not. And even if it was, it doesn't say the time of Israel's trouble. It says the time of Jacob, carnal man Jacob's trouble. And you got to worry about going through the tribulation like you got have to worry about walking out this front door and falling off the Empire State Building. That's just not going to happen. Just not going to happen whatsoever. In Jeremiah 30 and verse 7 and Matthew 24, 31 are the very same. All right, look in Matthew chapter 24. You got the abomination of desolation here. You got the great tribulation beginning here. See that 30 days right there? Matthew 24, verse number 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea, there's Jacob, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back and take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter. Why not in winter? If it's hard to travel, you might not get there. And why might not you get there? Because you only got 30 days. When you see that, listen, if you was a Jew in that day and you were reading your Bible and you see the little horn, you know you got those 2,300 days, and he offers that sacrifice. Man, if I had the scripture and believed it, I'd just, when I saw the little horn show up, I believe I'd head down to Petra and get ready. But that's not what the Lord told him. The Lord said, when you're in Judea and you see that little horn, place that abomination of desolation, get out now. What's the hurry? You've got 30 days till the great tribulation starts. Do you want to be trapped in Judea during that great tribulation, or do you want to be down in Petra? And God's already commanded them Moabites and those Edomites to leave Israel alone as they come out of the land of Israel, and as they flee down there, you better not touch them. The Lord's going to, and when it looks like they're going to get caught, the Lord's going to send the wings of a great eagle. I don't know what that's going to be. Maybe be the Air Force. I don't know. But the Lord's going to send them the wings of a great eagle and pick them up and make sure they get there. Amen. That's good stuff. But you got, when that abomination of desolation shows up, flee, because you got 30 days. Because you've got, way back here, you've got the little horn shows up, 2,300 days to the abomination of desolation, 1,290 days to the end, but only 30 days to the tribulation. And when the tribulation starts, you've got 1,260 days. I think that's pretty simple. Matter of fact, right here, look at Matthew chapter 5. Everybody, I think, knows what Matthew chapter 5 is. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And if you believe in dispensationalism, you believe the Matthew chapter 5 is for the kingdom age, talking about when the Lord reigns here on earth. Anybody agree with that? I certainly do. If I didn't believe it, I would be sure not to call nobody no fool. That's Sermon on the Mount. Be in danger of hell fire if you do that. But you'll notice when Paul gets over 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, thou fool. He's not worried, is he? What must not be for Paul then? Of course, it's proper speech. Don't be calling people fools unless you just really got to. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, look at it. Blessed. Ain't that a good word? Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed. See that, how that word continues to repeat itself? Look at Matthew 25, which takes place after Matthew 24, if you're keeping up with your mathematics. Matthew 25 and verse number 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed. That's a good group of people, isn't it? Who are the blessed? Those people back in Matthew chapter 5. And then for good measure, let's go back right back to Daniel chapter 12 once again. And in Daniel chapter 12, he says, in verse 11, he says, from the time that the daily sacrifice should be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. There it is right there. See it on top? And he says, blessed is he that waiteth. Now remember, the starting point for verse 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 is the abomination of desolation. Blessed is he that waiteth. Blessed, see that word again? Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. 1,335 days. It puts you 45 days past the Advent, and it puts you right at the judgment of the nations, and the whole thing is laid out for you. If you're a Jew and you miss the rapture, you don't get saved in this time period, and you're reading the scripture and you see this king show up out of four kings, you've got a timetable that will lay you out from the time he shows up till the time the Lord judges the nations right there. And a great part of that judgment of the nations is, how did you nations treat these people here, Israel? And he'll say, you didn't visit me in jail. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And that will be the principles upon which these nations are judged. How did you treat Israel? When they run, did you try to stop them? There's a great picture of that in the Old Testament. The Israelites tried to run, and the nations that lived around them tried to hem them in, cut them off so they'd be destroyed. And God got them back. When the time of Jacob's trouble shows up and they try to run to Judea and people try to hinder them from it, the Lord's going to come in and help them get there, but he's going to judge these nations. Amen. And so you've got the timeline laid out right there. It's perfect. It's right down to the precise day. I don't know what day it's going to start, so I couldn't give you no date on the Advent like nobody else could. But when that little horn shows up, listen, if you're around, which I hope you're not, when the little horn shows up, you'll know the very day that the Lord's coming back, because all you got to do is count them. And they're laid out for you. This is just a summary. Little horn to the abomination of desolation, 2,300 days. Abomination to the great tribulation, 30 days. Abomination to the end, 1,290 days. The tribulation itself, 1,260 days. The end to the judgment, 45 days. As I said before, there are going to be a lot of dead bodies. You know, when you read in Matthew chapter 24, and it says two is on the housetop, one taken, one left. If you read the comparative passages in Luke and other places about that, when the Lord is telling them that, the disciples say, where? Where are they taken? And you'd be surprised how many Baptist preachers teach that that's the rapture. Well, if that was the case, the answer would be, in heaven with me. But that's not the answer he gives them. He said, one's taken and one's left. And they say, where, Lord? And he says, where the corpses are, that's where they'll be. It's kind of a rough way of answering it, but that's the answer. A lot of those people that are taken away are not taken away raptured. They're taken away and killed. Matthew 25, judgment of the nations. It's the end of man's leadership and rulership here on this earth, save for the people that rule and reign with Christ. And when the millennial reign begins, Christ will rule, and those who have served him and suffered with him will rule with him, and there will never be again a time when man is left to his own means to govern himself on the face of this planet or in eternity. Never again. He'll be in charge forevermore. Christians win. You don't have to win popularity contests here. You don't have to be the most popular here. You don't have to be the richest here. You don't have to have the most here. All you got to have is Jesus here and stand up for him here and witness for him here and preach for him here and study his Bible here and pray to him here. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. And if you choose to chase after the fashion and the fortune and all these things and popularity, if you choose to pursue those things, that's your own right to do that, but you'll be without the reward there. So I encourage you tonight, these things that God has laid out in the Bible, they're absolutely so. And God hadn't left us this mindless, one of these days all this stuff is going to happen. He's laid it out in the Bible, so when it begins to happen, you can count the days. You know exactly how he laid it all out for you. And all we're left to do is believe it and follow it. That's all. That's all God requires of us. And the more you study it, the clearer it gets. You say, well, Lord, I don't know if that's the truth or not. And study it some more. Man, the Lord sure was good to us to show us all this stuff, wouldn't he? But you'd be surprised the amount of folks who know more third basemen than they do disciples. Amen. Amen. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness and your grace. I thank you, God. Lord, this is very difficult for me. But Lord, I thank you, God, for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for showing us the truth of your word. And I pray, God, you'd help us to follow it, to love it, to defend it, Lord, with all of our hearts and with all of our minds. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us an even greater love for your word and for truth, and maybe show us some more things. And Lord, I pray you'd be merciful to us. And Lord, I pray you'd be merciful to those who are not saved. And Lord, I'd hate to see folks miss the rapture and miss the opportunity to get in on the greatest thing that's ever been offered to man, the grace of God through the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. And I pray, God, you'd help us as a little church here in the back country. God, help us to be witnesses and shining lights as we ought to be. Help us to study your word more and more so that it shines in our hearts more and more until you come. And I thank you and praise you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen.